from 92. I may have to, whether I like it or not, make two groups. Those who are very earnest, those who are less earnest. And from today's notes, it will be apparent that next year we'll see such two groups. For a long time I hesitated separating all of you here. But there are a few very earnest and there are many who are less earnest. The less earnest make it evident every Saturday meeting that follows the monthly meeting. She is earnest, see? Well, I may yet change my mind if better results follow. It is not a threat, please. It is my sad thinking for the last 1 month. We'll begin now. We have noted in the earlier notes that all of our religions and philosophies are woven around and are exclusively for this gross outward covering and veil that is hiding the real you or the divine fragment. They, meaning religions and philosophies, are not concerned, it seems, even with the subtle coverings besides this gross one. We have also noted that this gross covering is very intelligent and seems to function by itself, though this is a false claim. And what is more, it can accumulate knowledge and pretend to be very wise and all-knowing, and therefore all the religions and all the philosophies try to trace its past, its present and its future and talk in terms of sin or karma and heaven or moksha. But this is a futile exercise indeed, because it deals with the covering only. We think that it is not worthwhile to waste time and go along this path, that is, the line adopted by religions and philosophies, because this gross covering is to be done away with the earlier the better, but not by way of suicide. Natural death and suicide both amount to unconscious exit from life, but it must be a conscious dropping away of the outer covering. On the other hand, it is more proper to know the techniques and methods that show us how to do away with this gross covering, so that our next step would be to take in hand the subtle and the yet more subtle coverings, and in turn to do away with them also, the earlier the better. But unfortunately, there are many schools and so-called masters who show tantric practices of using the great possibilities of the senses of these subtle and yet more subtle bodies, thereby firmly establishing both themselves and their followers in this mithya knowledge of the covering.
in a zoo,
the animals are in cages. But in natural game preserve, these animals look as if they are in natural surroundings, and they think they are free. When you do not know to function in the higher senses of the subtle bodies, you feel that you are in a cage. When you are able to use the powers of the subtle and yet more subtle body, you think you have achieved freedom. But this freedom is the freedom of the game preserve. And you know very well that no animal is free to go out of this game preserve. And so, this so-called freedom is the freedom of the game preserve. But most people think that they have achieved freedom, and they call this freedom of the game preserve as moksha. With the result that their minds cease to progress further. And God knows for how many lifetimes they remain in this game preserve, enjoying the so-called freedom. That is what is hinted here. Pardon? Astral and mental. Sambhogakaya, dharmakaya. To do away means once and for all time to be free from physical birth, and later to be free from subtle and yet more subtle body births, because as long as the subtlest covering persists, we cannot be free from repeated births and deaths. Neither is the real you or the divine fragment free to function by itself, because then only is real moksha there. In the same manner, the three universes are also mere coverings of greater lives as compared to finite human beings. Greater lives, I mean, not more divine than human beings, but more advanced and infinite as compared to human beings. And hence, all types of coverings are considered by the Shastras as unreal, hiding the real you, the divine fragment. In the same way, the gross universe, in its millions, billions, trillions of gross objects, is hiding many, many real divine fragments. We shall come to it later. The science that searches for the and studies these trillions upon trillions of such coverings in the universe, hiding higher lives that make up this vast universe, which is either expanding or contracting, and which according to the scientist's calculation has been in existence for 15 or 16 billion years, and about whose future and death is theorized as thermal death, is so much mithya knowledge, because such knowledge does not help us in our daily living when obstacles and hindrances make us go the wrong way, or when depression and brooding crush us and make us helpless, and when our wandering mind does not let us even pray or be engaged in some constructive work. I feel that the scientists, instead of searching these many, many bodies in space, if they can come to some knowledge of how to have communication, I think we'll know the truth earlier. However, this outer covering acts as real you, and pretending thus calls itself I. This is avidya, meaning calling the false and pretending you as I, and from which we must work to be free. But mere mental conception or mere parrot-like repetition of this thought is not enough. One must experience the separation of this false you from the real you as precisely as a snake removes its old skin. The false superimposing of the outer covering on the real you is so firmly fixed in our mind and brain that we doubt the very existence of this real you, and science considers it as so much spiritual fiction. In the Sutra, Book 2.24, it says, the cause of this association, that means the association of the false you over the real you, the cause of this association is avidya or ignorance, and says this has to be overcome. When this ignorance is brought to an end through non-association with things perceived, this is the great liberation. This outer covering is so firmly established, and we have had no idea of the real you. Of course, we talk philosophically, spiritually, or religiously about our soul. It is a talk. We have had no experience of this real you, and therefore, even we, though we come and meet here and talk about it, even we doubt at times whether there is any possibility of knowing the real you. And our religions, they are concerned with many gimmicks. We have rituals, we have fasts, we have sattvic food, all sorts of these gimmicks. We play like little children that have grown up as adults and keep playing with. Only Buddha was very emphatic in his statement and denied any of these rituals, any of these gimmicks. But the result was that the people of India suddenly lost their anchor. When they tried to give up the rituals, they found that they were holding on to air. There was no firm ground under their feet, because it is not easy for a human mind to live by any extract or abstract formula. It was therefore the great work of Shankaracharya to establish rituals again and Brahmanism again. You know that our human mind is so small, our human brain is so small, that on this earth, our earth is not even a speck of dust. On the sun, there are some spots. And you can put a few thousand earth in one of these spots and it won't cover a small spot on the sun. It is so small. And the body of water that covers 3/4 of its surface is one. But the human mind cannot even see that body of water is one. And we have Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean. We are not content with that. We have then got Arabian Sea, Gulf of Mexico, Straits of Gibraltar. We go on breaking an actual full fact. Our human minds are too small. We need to break up things and hold on to a small piece then. Because even then we find it difficult to understand. That is why rituals will not leave us. We will, in spite of reading these notes, go home and stand in one corner and do like this, to some supposed idol. We would not like to look into the mirror and see whether something is reflected here in the mirror that is the real you. That we will not do. Unless we do this, there is no hope. And you know the reason why? When we were primitive, like the animals, we were guided by instinct. When we will advance sufficiently, we will be guided by intuition. But today we are without instinct or intuition. We have a piece of gray matter called the brain that cannot help us. And as long as we have to live by the help of this small gray matter, we will not have the courage to take all our religious books, go to the sea and dump. Thank you. All this time you have helped me. I want you no more. We will not have the courage to do that. If our religious book were to fall from our hand, we'll do this, this, all that. It is as much a printed book as this. But no. There are certain fixed ideas in our mind. If a photograph of a prophet falls, we are free. One day, an idiot like me was preaching like me. So one man called him. "This is the photograph of your father. Put your foot on it." He went there and stopped. Because our mind are conditioned by certain relationship, by certain idea of spirituality, and we do not want to be free from this awful mental torture. We do not feel this as mental torture because we have not believed that this is mental torture. But it is mental torture. But we love it. We don't want to be free from it. I'm sure you won't do it going home. Okay. Since discovering is not the real you, what can we do to improve it? Hardly much. Book 4:27 says in Yoga Sutra, through force of habit, however, the mind will reflect other mental impressions and perceive objects of sensuous perception. Have you understood this beginning? Through force of habit. Through force of habit means the thoughts that you have deeply engraved in your mind. These are force of habits. That picture on the wall is the picture of God. That book is a religious book. If I go to the temple and pray, my sins will be forgiven. If I go to Yatra, Kedarnath, Badrinath, here, there, everywhere, and have it deep into the Ganges, my sins will be washed. If that was so, all the angels in the universe will come to this earth and would like to have a dip into the Ganges and go to Kedarnath, Badrinath and be washed once and for all. See? But we have not the courage to believe. And those who have no courage will hardly move on this path. I told you once, you remember young Walter Raleigh? Walter Raleigh, as we used to say. He wrote one line under Queen Elizabeth's window. Fain would I rise, but I fear a fall. Willingly I would rise, but I fear a fall. And the Queen wrote another line, if thy faint heart fails thee, do not rise at all. If your faint heart fails thee, do not rise at all. The same way I can say that if you have not the courage to break away with these tortuous mental thoughts, there will be no hope. There will be no hope. Religion does not make us spiritual. Religion may make us religious, but not spiritual. To be spiritual, we must throw away everything. Bhikshu, empty the boat. That's all Buddha had to say. Meaning, all the thoughts that you are angry with, throw them, empty the boat. Unless you empty the boat, there is no hope. As long as you want to keep something into your boat, this is your boat, there is no hope. I can also tell you the same thing, empty the boat. If you don't have the courage, don't expect to move forward. The approach to this eternal problem of the covering is approached from wrong direction by all religions and philosophies. The emphasis is on what is wrong and wrongdoing and how to avoid it and its consequences, leading to rituals, fasts and other gimmicks of satsang, sattvic food and what not. Why is the emphasis so much on wrongdoing? Why is the emphasis so much on sin and sinner? Why have we not told that it is human to err? Well, we are human beings and we make mistakes. Why is the word sin coming in? The end, sin brings the idea of heaven and hell. maybe a few thousand years ago we were so primitive that we couldn't think of anything better. But even now, would you continue to think along the same lines? Pity. Here you will notice in the Yoga Sutra that the approach is totally different and does not remain a philosophy, but given practical lessons that help one to cross over. The emphasis is much less on commission, but ease, not it, but ease, more on healing, refining, upgrading. When through the removal of hindrances and purification of all the sheaths, the totality of all knowledge becomes available, not further remains for the man to do. All the sheaths, physical, astral, mental, totality of all knowledge means wisdom, becomes available. Not further remains for the man to do. When wisdom replaces knowledge, when one outer covering after another is thrown away, then what is worth knowing is known. And all the rubbish that we have collected as knowledge will be thrown overboard. How do hindrances and obstacles arise? Why are they so persistent? Why are sadhanas necessary or lifelong of bhakti necessary? And all these life after life consciously. What are called obstacles and hindrances? Arise from one source only. What is known as life and death arise from one source only. Whether you will follow rituals or whether you will elect to follow the Yoga Sutra arises from one word only. And that one word is this memory. And memory, as you may understand, is not only past, is not only present, it is also future. It is also future. Past, present, future. It sits right in the middle of past, present, future. There is a small little point. Do you all have this book with you? Most of you must have got it. Most of you have not read it. Perhaps. Last three or four pages you have seen of this book? No. The diagrams. There you will see one, two, three. Three points are numbered 1, 2, 3. Have you seen the diagrams? Have you seen those 1, 2, 3?
I doubt very much.
These three points are in your brain. Past, present, future,
memory.
How many times you have opened this book? Once? Half?
Of these three points, 1, 2, 3, we are in the physical earth, so we will talk of one. We will not for the time being talk of 2 and 3.
There is a point in your brain. This point is the point of time.
Time is neither past, nor present, nor future.
Because, like the Ganga, there is no Gangotri, and like the Ganga, there is no Bay of Bengal.
Time is time, always flowing, and has no past, present or future, because this is time.
So we don't know where it starts and we don't know where it ends.
And God in His great mercy in our stupid brain has given one small point that in the diagram is called one, the point of time.
If you can touch that point of time,
there is the past,
there is the future, there is always a now. It's not philosophical now, it's a practical now. You can see in dim past, you can see into the dim future, you can see your present.
Instead of calling it time, call it memory. For your time is your memory. Your last birth is a last memory.
Your future birth is a future memory. Your present birth is a present memory.
The only thing we have not learned so far is to link the past memory to the present memory to the future memory.
Because nobody has told us there is a small point indicated by figure 1 in our brain, which is the point of time, which is the point of all memory, which is the point of past, present and future. Your prophets were born yesterday.
Time began God knows when.
Who was helping humanity then? I don't know. Because we firmly believe that unless there is a prophet, unless there is religion, or unless there are religious books, or unless there are temples, churches, mosques, we'll go to hell. If you put all the religions, philosophies, temples, churches into hell, there will be heaven on earth. But we are afraid. We fear. We dare not take a step beyond these boundaries. If you don't have the courage to step beyond, why do you come here? To please me? I am sure you will not have the courage after going home also. Now, we will go home. It is one word only, memory. And memory at three stages, past, present, future, coinciding into a now. Now, please, pick this up. See your diagram. The upper half is called creation. There, on the right hand side, at the bottom, you read causal body with three super micro recording monitors. Do you read that? Do you read that? And then with an arrow you see three stars in a small rectangle. Do you? On the same level. Do you see three stars in a rectangle? These are the three super micro recording monitors. Now, what do you see here? In the above half, and this is the lower half, the above half, you see Param Satyam, Satyam, Tapah, on the right, can you read? Absolute, Param Satyam, unmanifest absolute, Satyam, Tapah, divine wholeness, absolute manifest. Then a small little circle shown as the bubble, that is existence, which is enlarged below. And that divine fragments, jhana. These lines that you see in this upper circle and the human being you see in the lower circle is the same line covered over by false coverings of physical as mental bodies. Do you see the difference? The single line has become a body. Here you see a single line in the upper circle, in the yellow color, and lower in the lower circle you see human bodies that are covered with false coverings. Now, if there is any sense into the theory of karma, if there is any sense in the theory of reincarnation, there must be a link, there must be a chain, there must be a link. If you are what you are today, if you do not know what you were yesterday, and you will not know what you are going to be tomorrow, where is the link? And if there is no link, there is no karma. And there is no reincarnation. But if there is karma, if there is reincarnation, where is the link? You know this link is made of what? This link is made of a very stupid substance, memory. This memory is stretchable and is longer than the universe. This memory is stretchable and longer than the universe. Before the universe was born, till the universe will die, and everything that takes place again and again and again and again, there is one word that repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats: memory, 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 memory. So if you go to your temples and churches and mosques and do nothing about your memory, it is most important thing, memory. What are you going to do? How will your rituals and sattvic food and vegetarianism or whatever you call it and all the gimmicks going to help you on this path? If you don't know this word, if you don't want to know this word, if you don't want to do anything about this word, what is your future? A million, billion, ten, even if you are born, you'll be going to the temple. to the church, to the mosque, will carry your religious book and do this. Nothing more, nothing less. Understand? There is no way out. Your mental torture will continue. You will love your captivity and will never know what freedom is. You will also not know what your real you is. Let go anything else. So, it all boils down to one thing. Destroy it, exile it, freeze it, do anything with that word memory. You get my point? Again I come to this yellow book, which most of you have not read. I draw your attention to the last 4 or 5 pages. There are 5 diagrams. If you see the last diagram, it is called 3C. And if you see the 4th diagram, it is called 3B. In 3B, the memory is exiled. And in 3C, the memory is frozen. Frozen. Not frozen as in your refrigerator deep freeze. Frozen means any amount of heat will not bring it to life again. It is frozen. And frozen means what? Life, 100th life, today it is your millionth life. Memory is continuing with you in your millionth life. The link is, today we are talking about electronics. Nature was plagued with electronics billions of years ago. And therefore gave you one center in your brain, kept one center called the number 1, 2, 3, what have you read here? The causal body holding the 3 permanent seed atoms. In this causal body, there are 3 seed atoms. Like your 1, 2, 3 in your brain. There are 3 seed atoms in your brain. There are 3 seed atoms in the causal body, and this is the physical seed atom. One. This is the physical seed atom. One. And there is a constant link between the point in time in your brain and the eternal time in the causal body. And from your first birth to your today's millionth birth and tomorrow's 10 millionth birth, this and this will function. There is no sin. There is no good deed. These are all mere religious thoughts. Give us some discipline in life. There is no sin. There is no karma. There is no good deed. Forget all this childish talk. It is memory. It will make you do in that first life or in your 1000th life or in your 1000000th life the same thing over and over again. As long as you take care of that memory. If you don't, another 10 million births and you will be doing the same thing. You'll still be going to some Gandhivi place where you'll meet once in a month. But you will do nothing else. Try to understand the atrocious damage that we are doing to ourselves. But by not trying to realize what memory is and what we can do about this memory. In the causal body, point one, the point in time, goes on flickering. In your brain, that point one goes on flickering. There is communication. And communication of what? All that you think, all that you do, all that you memorize, all that you put in your memory, and it is transmitted there. When you are born again, that will transmit again to that point one in your brain, what you have been doing all your lives in the past, and make you do again. There is your sin. There is your karma. There is your good deed. It's your memory. If you have done something, you will be made to do that again. Whether good or bad, inferior or superior, matters. So, think of that one word, memory. Try to learn something about memory and try to know the techniques which will exile it. But the trouble with exiling is, one can always come back. Napoleon was exiled to Elba. Within 100 days he came back and Europe was shivering when Napoleon came back. So to exile is not the safest thing to do. Napoleon can come back and Europe can be again in trouble. The best thing is to deep freeze it. Then finally they sent him to St. Helena, 5,000 miles away from France, corded by half a dozen men of war of the British Navy and 10,000 soldiers on the island of Helena. You see, the totally deep-freezed Napoleon. He couldn't come back to France. Napoleon, in your case, is memory. If you will exile it, it might come back within 100 days. If you deep freeze it at St. Helena, it may never come again. The Yoga Sutras are important because